God intended. And Tim Savage believes the underperformance of our marriages is the greatest social tragedy of our time. But there's not just bad news here. He really believes that the tragedy of the breakup of marriage and the family that we see today, that can be dramatically reversed. And he wants to call you and me to discover how not just we can stay together, but how the glory of God can infuse your marriage and mine, how the glory of God will help fulfill our marriages and bring joy and make them this shining city on a hill, this testimony that a troubled world desperately needs. How do you find the path? Can't separate that Bible thing.
No.
But here's my question.
Yeah.
We so often just jump to, okay, so what do I do? Tell me what to do. I want to stay with the glory of God thing for a moment again. Yeah. What are we missing in our marriages? What should we be seeing if we were to follow what you're talking about?
Yes, I think what we need to be seeing is less of self. And if we want to put a word to it, less of selfishness, less of what do I want from him or her. She's not giving me enough. He's not giving me enough. And more of what we see in Christ, which is how can I give to this person at his point of need or weakness? How can I meet her at her sense of need? And Chris, you mentioned just before that when people in our world see a couple who are pouring themselves into each other like this, they do see something that astonishes them. They see the glory of God because they're living in a world that is not just different from what they're seeing in this couple. They're living in a world that sees what is opposite of this couple. This world is self-grasping, selfish. When the glory of God is operating in the hearts of two people, they're self-giving. You can't get more different from self-grasping, self-giving. Of course, what happened in the garden back in Genesis 3 was it's all about self-grasping. I want that fruit. It's going to make me better. It's going to help my image. It's going to make me less hungry. And when the second Adam came, he gave himself. And then he said, I'm going to give myself so much, I'm going to actually give myself into your heart so that I can be reproduced in you, and you can become self-giving. It's so opposite, this loveless, selfish world. You're right. When this world sees, well, I think it was Martin Luther who said, when I see a couple who are at one, it's as though I'm standing in a garden of roses. And then he added, sadly, he added, it is rare. Most couples, selfishness invades.
Yes.
It invades my marriage too much.
And here's the other thing about this. I know a lot of people will say, a spouse will say, but you don't know my spouse. This does not depend on your spouse. What we're talking about here today, you can still glorify God in your marriage by living in this way. No Ordinary Marriage. Tim Savage, our guest. Here's the number, 877-548-3675. You're listening to Chris Fabry Live. Remember, you can link with us online at Facebook.com. Just type in Chris Fabry Live. Also, the website has many more past programs you might be interested in, and you can support us there as well. We don't charge anything for this service, and you can help us in that way. All at ChrisFabryLive.org. Thanks for joining us today for Chris Fabry Live, online at chrisfabrylive.org, where you'll find out more about our guest, Pastor Tim Savage, the author of No Ordinary Marriage. You'll see that as our featured resource there on the right side of the homepage at chrisfabrylive.org. Also, like us on Facebook, link to us on Twitter there from the main hub, chrisfabrylive.org. I find this really invigorating because it is... It's just so true, and it's so simple, and yet it's so hard. it's so hard to do, Tim. And I want to get practical. We're going to take some phone calls here But there is a practical nature of this, that Jesus came to give us life, and he lived it out in front of us, didn't he?
Mm. Yes, amen. Amen.
What do you do then when you get into an argument with your wife and you say, boy, the glory of God ain't here today?
Well, you know, I'm a pastor, so I'm paid not to get into arguments with my wife.
Good.
And my salary is being reduced. No, yeah, Chris, yeah. When you get into an argument, and Leslie and I do have them once in a while, and it's important to be able to ask yourself the question, for me to ask myself the question, was there any selfishness in me in this argument? Did this argument arise because I wanted more love or more respect, more sensitivity, more sex, more time, more attention, more comfort? It's a really hard question to ask, because usually in the heat of the argument, you're hot.
Yeah.
And your focus is really on that other person who has let you down in some way. But if with God's help you can ask yourself, you know, is there anything in me? Is there selfishness here? I find, personally speaking, the answer is almost always yes, Chris. There's too much of me in this. I'm upset with Leslie because of what she's not doing for me. At that point, very practically, I ask the Lord, put me on my knees.
Hmm.
And fill me with Christ. Humble me. Make me teachable. Make me willing to give more to my wife than I presently was in this altercation that we've just had. You know, it's not even the details of the altercation that I'm dealing with at this point. It's my heart. And when I get to my knees, I find that the Lord answers that prayer. He softens me. He shows me that, yeah, you were, Tim. You were too focused on you. And even if Leslie, in a impartial adjudication, if it were decided that she was wrong in this argument, it no longer matters so much to me. Because God is changing my heart. And the issue that caused the fissure, whatever, the division, it's not that significant. And I go and I say, honey, please forgive me. I was upset with you for not being all I wanted you to be. I was focused on myself. And most of the time she'll say, you know, I've come to the same view. I was focused on myself. And then, Chris, I know I'm going long on this one, but just one more thing.
No,
a beautiful thing happens. When you ask yourself, have I been selfish? You fall to your knees and you ask God to do a work in your heart. You go to your spouse and say, I want to ask you to forgive me. A most beautiful thing happens. You become closer as partners than you would have become had the division never crept in. It's like God has even a supernatural use for our arguments and our divisions.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing.
You know, I had something happen even today. Where I just, you know, I had about a 5 list of things that my wife had done in this one instance, you know, and I was just, I was ready. The next time I saw it, I thought, you know, we're just going to confront each other. I'm going to tell you. And by the time I got back there, I just thought, it's not that big. And here's the thing. I don't say that to puff myself up.
No, it's Christ in you, Chris. It's not you.
Well,
yeah,
there's an insidious part of this, though, that I was motivated more, and now that I think about this, I was motivated more to just simply keep things on an even keel and not rock the boat than I was to, you know, to exert my, you know, you harmed me here or whatever it was, because I believe that even in the... That's in the nitty-gritty of life when you say, well, this kind of hurt me, and I'd like to talk about it. That takes courage. That takes movement forward, because if you can start doing that, then you get to a deeper level, and you start having something that's not just going along on the same track. Does that make sense?
It makes all this. It's biblical. It makes perfect sense. The problem with a lot of us is we don't want to do the hard work. We'd rather just gloss over the problem and go to another room, and hopefully it passes.
Yes.
But I think it was Dostoevsky who said, we learn nothing apart from suffering. Now, that's not a thrilling idea for many of us, but I think that's what you're saying. If there's a problem, Wait into it.
Yes.
Ask God to humble you. Yet it might take a little work, but the rewards at the other end are glorious. They're the glory of God. By the way, I don't always practice what I'm saying right now. I'm one who can go to the other room very quickly.
Yes.
But that's not.
And that's because of comfort. That's because we like to have things, you know, happy and I'm not going to get it. I don't want to do this argument thing. And we think that, you know, that's for the glory of God too, but it can work against us as far as the relationship goes. Let me jump to the phones here. Jan's in Oaklawn, Illinois. Jan, your question or comment here today.
Hi, this is a comment, and I just want to thank both of you, Tim and Chris. This, when I heard this program, the topic, I just started to cry. Today's my 9th wedding anniversary. And this is my second marriage, my husband's first marriage. Since Saturday, I've been watching my 1-year-old granddaughter as her parents are in the St. John of the Virgin Islands. So I've been over there Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday at night. And so yesterday, my best friend is her nanny and little 1-year-old Iris, and my husband and I, we marched to Kohl's, and here we have a big argument, and he wants to spend the $40 free cash on this, and he wants to buy all kinds of ridiculous things. He's loud in the store. And so I've been actually by myself sleeping, you know, by myself. We've been separated just by me watching the baby. And I went to bed last night, and I said, you know, Lord, I don't even like him. I don't even know if I even like him anymore. And tomorrow's our anniversary. He was crabby and snappy and loud in the store, and I just wanted to take a pair of socks and stuff in his mouth. and so I, you know what, this was maybe my private thoughts. We're going to dinner tonight, and I'm like, what are we going to talk about? And the Lord heard my prayer, and as I knelt down, I said, Lord, help us, help us. And so I want to thank both of you for this timely program. I needed this. Our marriage needed this to focus on the glory of God. We're both Christians, and to live on that higher plane. And yes, we don't always do it, but I needed this shot in the arm today. I'm a nurse. And so I needed this shot to say, Lord, yes, what is the
purpose? I love your heart, Jan. I love what you're saying, and I love your honesty about the sock, you know, because I'm sure that my wife has felt the same way. Tim, respond to this. 9th anniversary, here she is, and it's that being on your knees and crying out to God's a good place to be, isn't it?
It is such a good place. Jan, bless you, and happy anniversary. I believe you're going to have a very happy one. But what an opportunity this division has given both you and your husband to turn to Christ, to plead with him to humble you both, to ask him to fill you with his glory, and to come to each other with self-giving love. It's an opportunity to go farther and higher with the Lord than you could have gone had you not wanted to stuff the sock in his mouth.
That's,
you know,
right.
It's a great moment in the history of your marriage. And I'll be praying for your husband that he'll catch your heart full of Christ for him. And that the Lord will use you to bring out the same in your husband. I believe
that's,
he will.
That's what I was thinking. Even though she felt like she was the one that was wrong there and he spoke crossly, as they sit down at that table or as they meet together, and she puts her hand on his and says, what could she say from the heart, honestly, that would draw him closer, do you think?
It's always good to admit where you sense that you've been selfish. And we didn't get into this with Jan, but if she might be able to say, you know, whatever she calls her husband, honey, sweetie, you know, in this incident yesterday, I was just thinking about myself. I mean, I think I was right, but I still was pretty self-focused. I don't want to be that way. I want to be Christ to you. I want his love to flow from me into you. Please forgive me. You've got a new wife today. She can say that even if she feels he was primarily the one at fault.
Yes.
And then watch the Lord melt his heart. Hopefully, we pray. It doesn't always happen. We pray it will. and that Christ would be filling him as much as he was Jan.
Yeah. Jan, hang on. We want to talk with you here in the break. We're talking with Tim Savage today about you not having an ordinary marriage. The book is No Ordinary Marriage. You'll find it linked at our website, which is chrisfabrylive.org. ChrisFabryLive.org. Is your vision for your marriage expanding today? Stay with us. This is Chris Fabry Live, and we have one more segment to go on the program. A perfect time to remind you, Moody Radio is listener-supported. You are our lifeline to on-air, live streams, podcasts, the whole shooting match worldwide. Thank you for your support at chrisfabrylive.org. I think of the phrase, the love of God shed abroad in your heart. I think of Jesus saying, I came to give life and give it abundantly. Is that working its way out in your marriage, or are you at odds? Are you butting heads on different things? Is the glory of God showing itself through that union that you have? We're talking with Tim Savage today, a pastor who's written No Ordinary Marriage. You can find out more about him at chrisfabrylive.org and link to the book right there. Let's go to Florida. Gus is on the line. Hey, Gus, what's going on with you?
I don't even know what it's about, but I'm going to be brief because I respect your time and the time of other callers wanting to call in. I've got a situation where I've been married almost 10 years, and I'm a very avid believer and follower of Christ. And I go every week, even though the wife doesn't go, and she pretty much blames it on work, but that's fine. I have a problem with becoming, not yet, but I feel myself becoming a little weaker, but I still maintain my reading. I go to service. I listen to Chris Faber all the time and any other encouragement that I can get during reading and books. But my problem is I have a stepson that lives home, and I am the husband who should be getting my wife's attention, but he gets more than what I get, and I deal with that. But when you do the things that shows more attention, just I'm going to be very brief, some of the things that I have to deal with on a daily basis. And some of those things are my clothes isn't washed, but wash his clothes. She'd wash his car. She'd fix his food for him in the evening when he comes in from work days that she don't myself. If he doesn't come home by, and he's 22 going on 23, if he's not in by a certain time or answer his cell phone, she'd jump in the car, go to his job, go in the neighborhood, ride around.
Okay, guys, good. Okay, now we got the picture. Let me ask you a question. How long have you been married again?
9 years.
9 years,
yeah,
okay.
Let's put it like this. We've been together for 9. We've been married 6. And it's
okay.
Just,
and you're doing everything that you can to love her as Christ loved the church, but she's doing all this stuff for her stepson, and she's not loving you. All right, and this is a very common thing, Tim. I hear this from men and women as well about a stepchildren issue or some other issue, or a baby comes home, and the husband feels, you know, you don't pay any attention to me. What would you say in this situation?
Yes, Chris, and Gus, this is a conversation I feel like I've had with many people, and it's very frustrating, Gus, not to feel like you're the center of your wife's focus. It's hurtful. God would want something better for you than that. The question is how to get to that better point, and you know, by getting upset and by demanding more attention and by raising your voice, you'll only drive her farther away. And so I would commend to you the approach that Jesus took with us. We weren't getting his attention. We weren't giving him our attention or our affection. And it was while we were actually sinning against him that he chose to die for us. He laid it all on the line for people who weren't interested in him, who weren't paying attention to him. And so this is going to require a miracle in your heart, because we're not naturally given to pouring ourselves into somebody who's withholding from us. But sink to your knees and say, Father, turn me into a new man. Make me more like Christ. Help me to love my wife in spite of herself. Help me to pour myself into her, meet her at her points of need. Help her with her son. where she's trying to help him, help me to get right into the middle of helping her with this son who's actually become a little bit of my enemy. I hate to admit it because he's taking her away from me, but help me to throw myself into what interests her, and it'll take a miracle. But that's God's business. He's an expert at producing miracles in us. And then watch. I bet it melts her heart to see that you are one with her in the things that interest her most.
You know, it almost sounds like we talked about the love languages, Gary Chapman's love language concept, and it almost sounds like her love language might be these acts of service for her son, even though she doesn't do them for her husband. What would it say to her if Gus went home and as she's making dinner for her stepson, and not for him, or washing the clothes, if he stepped in and helped her? If he stood there and said, I see you get such a charge out of doing this. What can I do to help you? What would that, she probably would fall on the floor, don't you?
Yeah, she would. She would say, are you my husband?
Yeah,
where did you come from? And Gus would say, you know what? It's not me. It's Christ in me. He's doing a work in my heart. He'll bring tears to her eyes. That was a good one. That was a good one, Chris. Well done.
Yeah. Gus, God bless you. I want to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee real quickly before we end here. Stuart's on the line. Stuart, go right ahead.
Hey, Chris. Appreciate you taking the call. Wanted to say, if you ever get to Chattanooga, you and I need to have coffee because we could talk. I have 9 children from 35 years old to 12 years old.
We could have a bus ministry, my friend.
Yeah. And we've homeschooled our oldest 7 all the way through high school. Got 2 to go now. So
great. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, listen, and with all that, sort of as part of the background for me saying I just totally agree with this conversation today. My wife and I, we're the proverbial high school sweethearts, and we're too young, dumb, and stupid to know how challenging it was to get married at 19 and start having a family right away. But God, our God was bigger than that. He was bigger than us, and he took us through lots of ups and downs in family business and homeschooling. We just had all kinds of fun issues and fun challenges, but God was faithful through all that and led us to be faithful to one another. And so, to me, this is a huge subject for the church. I definitely know the danger could be that we could make an idol out of marriage, and we don't want to do that. But on the other hand, the issue of seeing, as John Piper and many others, and y'all are saying, the huge impact that our marriages can have on society, in a society where families are falling apart, to portray, just first of all, the example of a good family is huge, but even more, as Piper and others say, the portrayal of Christ in the church. I've been trying to get the message out that it's the most tremendous privilege. I don't know of a higher privilege and calling, really, when you think about it, in a sense that our family, our husband and wife relationship can portray that image of Christ in the church. And
well, when you look at
there,
that, we've talked about that Philippians 2 passage a lot, Stuart. Thank you. We talked about that, you know, the humility that it takes, or what Jesus did for us on the cross. Tim, that's what you're calling us back to showcase this glory of God, isn't it?
Amen. That's exactly it, Chris. And once again, we can't do it on our own, but we Christians don't believe we're on our own. We believe God works supernaturally in us, and this is what he wants to bring us. Christ-likeness, Christ in our hearts, Christ flowing out of us. It's the glory of God.
Well, Stuart, thank you. God bless you. I want to have coffee with you. Bring the kids, and we'll start that bus ministry there in Chattanooga together. A lot of other callers and emails that are coming in here, so I know that there are many of you who are struggling in this area, and I say good. If you are struggling, God can meet you at that point of struggle and take you further than if you just said, well, I'm giving up. I'm just going to keep on going. Tim, it was great to meet you today. I'm glad that we had this opportunity, and hope we get it again real soon.
Real blessing, Chris. Good to be with you.
Tim Savage has written No Ordinary Marriage. You can find out more at the website chrisfabrylive.org. We have it linked on the right side there at chrisfabrylive.org.